forward to.
It's Jeff Peel here. I'm at the Interconf in Belfast. I'm here with Andy Lark, who is CMO of Xero. Andy, you know, generally speaking, how do you believe cloud is transforming the whole process of accounting and business management? You're very active in that space.
Yeah, look, I mean, what the cloud has done is it's essentially taken all of the friction out of IT and basically shifted the world's focus from hardware to software. So software starts eating all of the processes, all of the complexity, all of the cost that small businesses in particular have to bear the burden of.
Mm-hmm.
That reverses then and causes governments to start really questioning core processes, core approaches to taxation, everything from expense claims through to the way a loan occurs to the way the financial system functions.
Yeah. On that topic, you know, HMRC here in the UK announced the other day that their intention is to move increasingly towards, you know, electronic cloud-based filing. But they're saying that it's going to take a while, and in the interim, the intention is, with the austerity measures and so on in the UK, to reduce headcount within HMRC. Do you think it's inevitable that all businesses will be you know, actively considering how they electronically file, and are all of them equally well equipped?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to look at the leading governments around the world, or the leading tax systems around the world, places like New Zealand, places like Australia, which are hyper efficient, where it's almost impossible to do it with paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all electronic. It's actually real time in New Zealand. There is no end of year tax period. It happens every week, every month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tax systems are being reinvented. So the governments face this real difficult duality of, on the one hand, having to reinvent their core processes, which are really hard to do, and at the same time to match that to the reinvention of their technology platforms to allow for electronic filing, electronic expense management, everything being electronic suddenly. And so it's a real burden for governments. It's a real challenge for them to solve. And the good news is there's plenty of models around the world for them to look at and go, wow, that looks like an amazing way of running an economy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question that the cloud also starts to change the fundamental economics of a unit of compute. And if you look at the leading governments around the world, they're not just focused on the cloud, they're focused on the entire unit of compute and starting to say, let's say it once cost me $1 per citizen, which means I'm spending $1.8 billion a year on my tax platform. Well, the new world means I can spend a cent on the dollar. And I'm having completely new conversations about the way information flows in and out of government.
Yeah, but do you think that there's going to be a requirement to fundamentally re-engineer the way they're doing it at the moment?
Yes.
At the minute, because if you take HMRC, you know, the system is often clogged. There's a frustration on the part of small businesses to be able to use their electronic systems because they don't have enough bandwidth. You know, there's a whole host of issues. And of course, there's now a suggestion that headcount will reduce, and at the same time, you know, the new systems are not going to be implemented fast enough. Does it mean that ultimately the system's going to just come screeching to a halt?
Well, the thing about governments as a whole is they're pretty good at governing, so they're pretty good at understanding the minimum they require to function, and then the maximum they could require to benefit. So I think as a whole, that probably won't happen. But what will happen is that their path to the cloud and to new technology and new processes will only accelerate, because they're recognizing up front they can't bear the burden any longer of traditional cost structures.
And
the sooner they get rid of those cost structures, they're effectively burning the boats and saying, listen, if we don't have the people, we are going to have to go harder and faster to the cloud and these new technologies and reinvent processes. And there's no faster way of doing that than to get rid of the burden we have right now.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there are some governments that are trailblazing, leading the way in this.
Yeah.
Which governments had you in mind?
Well, if you look at the New Zealand government and what they've done around taxation policy and approaches, it's quite revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the burden of annual tax filings. It's all real time. This also changes the way you engage with your advisors, because now you tend to talk to your advisors frequently. which results in healthier businesses in my mind. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And they're largely digital and electronic in their nature. Mm-hmm. So your entire path in and out is electronic. So I think there's plenty of examples of that going on around the world now where people are just saying, hey, we're not only going to fix the tax code and the actual business of taxing and create a more equitable, fairer, easier way of doing it, but then we're going to dovetail that with new technologies.
Yeah, yeah.
And that invariably means you have less people.
Uh-huh.
Just.
And can you hint at the nature of the support that's needed? You know, where often people hit the phones, typically if they get stuck. You know, SMEs often are not the most sophisticated organizations, be one and two man bands or whatever. What is it that in the interim, in the transition, that government needs to do in terms of supporting them?
I mean, some of this is not really the burden of government. And really what you're starting to see now is you look at people like KPMG who are launching their new accounting practices for small businesses.
It's KPMG Enterprise,
yeah. And you look at then the amazing rich resources available here in bookkeepers and small accounting firms. Those people are best suited to give advice and help people navigate. They're close, they're inexpensive, they're easy to get to. And so what we're looking to do at Xero is figure a way of getting more and more of those businesses into our platform. Mm-hmm. So that if you're sitting there and you're looking at your taxes in Xero and you go, I just don't understand that, you're one click away from an advisor.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's really the great thing about these advisors, because government doesn't have the full context of your business. Whereas an advisor will do on Xero. Mm-hmm. So their ability to look at everything going on in your business and say, this is how you should approach that, is far better than any government.
Yeah. Now, just final question, really, just outside of the whole issue of government, what's really next for Xero? You know, you've announced your deal with KPMG and so on. Is it increasingly going to be into the services market, or are you going to add more functionality or more product to your portfolio? Where next for Xero?
Well, what we've seen with Xero is we've really migrated from being an accounting platform purely to a platform that meets the full needs of small businesses mm-hmm. on any screen and any device, from an iWatch to an iPhone to an iPad to a browser. What that means is that we've also become the platform that essentially powers this new financial web. Mm-hmm. And this new financial web has suddenly opened the door to a whole lot of innovation that runs off our platform, but suddenly affords small business owners all kinds of new resources they never had access to before.
Uh-huh.
So a great example of this would be someone like Market Invoice. So suddenly you're running a small construction business, you can't get access to capital to grow, it's really hard, it's you know, months if not many months to get a loan. By that time, the invoice is being paid. That all changes because suddenly with Market Invoice, you connect your Xero accounting instance to Market Invoice. Market Invoice looks at your books and in under 60 minutes says, yeah, we'll give you a loan of $50,000 based on your outstanding invoices. So suddenly what's happening is all the friction that's prevented these small businesses from growing and thriving gets removed because of the power of the platform.
Yeah, and so it's increasingly about alternative finances and about being a bit more creative.
Everything. Alternate advisory sources, alternate finance sources, alternate recruiting sources. And also suddenly all this data starts to power completely new insights for the small business.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly let's say you're running, let's say you're running Pete's Computer Enterprises and you've gone in to be an advisor to Pete's or do something for them, and you suddenly go in and Xero tells you, well, actually, they pay on average in 90 days. You're like, well, no, my terms are 30 days. Well, we all know that the terms we negotiate aren't the terms that we get paid on. Suddenly, Xero might be able to start giving you some of that insight in the future, right? So this ability to take, you know, one of the main things anyway that the small business suffers from is not knowing. I don't know when I'm going to get paid. I don't know how much that's really going to cost me. I don't know how to get access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about what the cloud and platforms like Xero do is they end not knowing.
Okay.
Now you know, right?
Brilliant. Andy Lark, thank you very much
Thanks.
Indeed.
You're welcome.